The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, joined by Ron McDonald. If this is Monday, on the 25th day of July 2016, I'm just checking, is it Monday?
I think it is. You know, I have to say, I am very pleased with your network, John. You know, to have something like Ralph Winterroad present his win on your network. Without it, God knows how many people would not even know that there's such a thing as winning against big government.
Yeah, and what we have been saying about the IRS for all of these years has been true. And people, you know, they've been drinking the Kool-Aid, and who's been reinforcing it? Oh, our crooked media. It's just absolutely amazing. Okay, you're giving me all these links here. What am I supposed to be looking for when I'm trying to read and do a radio program, Mike? What?
It's just hilarious.
Well, what is it? You just gave me a link. You're sitting 4 feet from me, and you give me no indication of what the hell this is. No, yeah, I've got the link. It says this is funny. By the way, Ron, Ron Paul has finally crawled out of his hidey hole to talk about FedExit. Now, this is the guy that I'd hoped. Well, let me put it to you this way. I wish Ron Paul would have kept his mouth shut about Donald Trump, because he made it very clear that he was not a Trump supporter. Now, who do you imagine that he would have supported for president that was one of the 16 that got whacked out by Donald? Could it have been Randy? Oh, I'm sorry, Rand Paul, maybe. Don't know, he never made that perfectly clear. But I was hoping that Donald Trump would pick Ron Paul, the guy that was afraid that they would kill him if he became president of the United States. Because it would have been blatantly obvious to just about everybody on this planet, well, wait a minute. Let me see, if we have somebody like Newt Gingrich as vice president, you know, Trump could have a heart attack.
Oh, geez.
There could be a terrorist strike on the White House with Newt conveniently out of town. And guess who would have become president? Newt Gingrich. Yes, that trustworthy Republican that's been hanging around like a gadfly in Washington, because you never walk away from the dinner table as long as you can keep eating and there's people willing to keep feeding you. But it was fascinating for him to come out and talk about this and kind of size it up to Brexit. Now, it would have been perfect for Ron Paul's being vice president, because Donald Trump could have set Ron Paul on his own task for being vice president And that was going around whipping up support to finally dump the Federal Reserve in this country. Now, I said last week that I've got a sneaking suspicion on how Donald Trump is going to handle the banks once he gets into office. Well, how's that, John, you say? It's going to be pretty simple. When he gets into office, he's going to pick up the phone, he's going to call the Wall Street bankers, and he's going to tell them, you guys need to free up some cash, and you need to do it right now. Do we have any indication of him doing this in the past? Well, yeah, locally up there in New York. He went in and revitalized areas of New York that nobody else would touch. I mean, nobody. So he finally said to the bankers, you're going to love this one, Ron. He says, it's time for you guys to ante up. And they did. All of a sudden, investment cash flowed. Buildings were built. Businesses came back. Voila. Now, I do not, Ron, I'm not going to pretend to know Donald Trump, and I'm not going to sit here just to talk to hear myself talk. But I know this man understands the underlying, fundamental underlying problem in this country. And it isn't just the Clinton Foundation and the tax and spend people that are ripping you off. The biggest theft, ongoing, rolling theft for over 100 years in this country has been done by whom, Ron McDonald?
The bankers.
Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. So in order to get the ball rolling, he's going to make the phone calls to the corporations. He will do that. He's also going to make phone calls to the other corporations that we never really think of being corporations because there are trusted and vaunted public institutions. Oh, that's right, the banks. What I expect him to do, Ron, rather than threatening to shut them down, but I could see a little ace in the hole here. Either you free up investment capital and get this damn economy rolling again, or I just might launch an investigation on you and the 2008 takedown of the world's economies. Whew. Do you think he's got a little bartering position there?
Oh, definitely. You know, I wouldn't doubt that he's probably very aware of the monetary system, since that's what his background is all about, is manipulating money to profits. So I've no doubt he knows what the core of the problem is here in America.
One of the leaked DNC emails mocks a BuzzFeed report that suggested both the DNC and the RNC had weak cybersecurity. The dumbest thing I've ever read, oh, I'm sorry, another one of these damn pop-ups, I've ever read, says the subject line of the May email that appears to be sent from a DNC spokesman, Eric Walker, to an email list. The subject also includes the headline to the BuzzFeed story, "These experts think the DNC and RNC are both horrible at cybersecurity. The thesis, we hand out thumb drives at the events, which could infect the reporters and attendees' computers. So that means we're bad at cybersecurity." Okay, Walker says in an email above the copy of the story. And David Mack at David Mack Macau, he says, among the DNC hacked emails is this one mocking a BuzzFeed story about their weak cybersecurity. The BuzzFeed report quoted cybersecurity experts who criticized both the Republican and Democratic committees for using USB drives as a way to disseminate information ahead of the convention. Who does that anymore? I'm just asking to get infected with any variety of malware, said the CEO of a cybersecurity firm in the story. Those thumb drives are the number one way to infect a computer. It's borderline stupidity to give them out to people or for people to even think of using them. Now, you were in there laughing. What specifically, Mikey, were you laughing about? Your mic's not working.
It's the irony they're talking about. You know, emails would have been hacked telling people that, you know, they're just laughing at the people questioning their cybersecurity. I just think it's hilarious.
Oh, you mean if Hillary would have used thumb drives, she would have got hacked anyhow?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I know you don't have the answer to this, but your opinion, Mr. McNaughton.
Okay.
Let me see. Let me paint a little scenario for you. Mr. Comey of the FBI, the head of the FBI, does an investigation on Hillary Clinton for a year. Comes out and says that no reasonable prosecutor would press charges against Hillary Clinton. Because although she was found to be a little bit reckless and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other, we saw no reason to prefer charges or recommend to the Justice Department that charges be filed against Hillary Clinton. Now, my position on this is Mr. Comey gave Hillary Clinton ample time to go in there and scrub her servers of any embarrassing information, especially since Mr. Comey was on the board of HSBC, one of the largest money laundering outfits for illicit drugs on the freaking planet. But I guess Mr. Comey missed that one. Something very, very interesting here is in the wind. And, you know, when it was mentioned that going after the Clinton Foundation and all the criminality and money laundering involved with the Clintons, could this also involve Mr. Comey from the FBI as well?
You know, I never thought along those lines. However, when a man right in the face of the eyes of the American people turns about and says that there's not enough information to prosecute a candidate for president that has absolutely lied, there's got to be something. There's got to be something on the man.
Well, the defense intelligence, you know, Clapper comes out last week, makes a statement that he misinformed Congress. No. What Mr. Clapper did when asked the specific questions is the government in there just going through everybody's information. What does Clapper do? And it was classic. He couldn't even look at the person and asked him the question. He had his head down, and he's rubbing his forehead furiously, will not make eye contact with anybody, and he said, no, absolutely not. And then comes out and says, well, I misinformed the committee. No, what he did was lie. You know, we have this penchant for wanting to assign terms and names to things that really represents. You know, I mean, think about this, folks. You know, if you didn't know what represented the word car, that means that a dumb person would go to a car dealership and buy a used donkey by mistake. This is how crazy word manipulation and meaning and definition is getting. I am just absolutely flabbergasted that this. All this criminality and all of this stuff is starting to bubble to the surface.
Well, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't know anyone who has read Title 18, Section 1924, and saw what the law actually specified and what Hillary Clinton had done would accuse her of violating that law. Anyone, any reasonable person would have done that. I'm mystified over this thing.
Well, people are still contending that there's going to be fireworks in this country, and I'm not talking about a celebration, but there's going to be fireworks in this country that might keep the Obama in office under a martial law scenario. Now, do I think that's going to happen? You know, it's been a long, hot summer so far, folks. If you looked at the national weather map, people are baking all over the United States. And generally speaking, when you have hot, sticky, oppressive weather, you know, this really fires people up and it makes them even more irritable and more prone to making, let's say, violence or violent acts. It doesn't seem to be fomenting the way they had designed. Black Lives Matter, we started exposing the George Soros and all of these little organizations, umbrella organizations, that all this money was funneled to get protesters up to these conventions to protest. The very people inciting violence in this country. I mean, all this stuff is getting diffused and blown out of the water as soon as it comes up. People are waking up. I could not be happier, but I'm not going to get too giddy here because I know this is just a start, a good start, but nevertheless, just a start. But this is indicating to me that the media has lost its sway over people in general, only the mindless, the lazy, will keep tuning into the news and going, yeah, well, that's what's happening in America today. No, they're walking away from the politicians. They're walking away from the media. They're walking away from the crap that used to control their lives, and they are becoming independent thinkers and doers once again. Do you know how many years I've been waiting for this to happen, Ron?
Probably the entire life of your network.
Oh, and then,
if not more.
And then double that. I've been waiting a long time, doing whatever I could to help the process along. Now, I have been, how should I say, careful about who I back. You know, you might have noticed that a few talk show hosts got in trouble with backing Ted Cruz. One guy's right here in Austin. Another one is the guy that went to Glenn Beckville by way of the Holy Utah Criminal Church. Glenn Beck. You know, this guy gets thrown off the air for a week because, well, he kind of intimated there that, you know, somebody might whack Donald Trump. And they smacked him on his pointed little head. Things are starting to change, Ron, but based on fact and truth. Not an opinion or not a movement of opinion, but a movement based on fact. And I don't give a damn how it started. I don't care if it was dissatisfaction with politicians on the left side of the aisle or the right side of the aisle. I don't care, because once they started to walk away from their preconceived notions, or how some people have put, well, you know, perception is a lot of people's reality. They had been walking away from the perception givers. The thing that passed as media in this country.
That we report, you decide.
Yeah. Bull puppy.
Let me ask you a question. What were your first responses, your thoughts on when Trump first entered the race, and also on Reagan entering the race for the presidency?
Well, which one do you want first?
Give Reagan first.
Ronald Reagan, I was kind of a neophyte coming out of a brain-dead era, just crawling into politics in my life. I actually voted for Jimmy Carter. That was the last time that I voted in anything. National, state, local, doesn't matter. Now, what I thought when Reagan came around, I'd been through the 60s. I'd been through Nixon. I am not a crook. Been through all of that. Carter seemed like kind of a harmless kind of guy. Was saying a few right things, but my knowledge base was severely curtailed. Ronald Reagan rolled around, and I saw some positive attitude in this country, and who doesn't cleave to positive things? So I kind of went with him a little bit. But what I see the similarities between Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump is that Donald Trump is bringing in Democrats, just as Reagan did, but with one little difference. He's bringing in a lot of Democrats that have taken the time and the energy to use their brains, do a little bit of research, understanding, first listening and understanding actually what Donald Trump is talking about and the reasons why they're happening. There's the major difference I see between Ronald Reagan and a Donald Trump supporter of old and now the new. Okay?
Got it.
Gotta go. Gotta take a break. 3 minutes, 800-313-9443. Why are you people being all of a sudden silent today?
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report. Broadcast from 12 to 3, Monday to Friday, Central Standard Time. We cover medical issues, geopolitical, spiritual, and others. And you're welcome to call in.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
No one can decide what we all must outrun. Who's gonna carry the weight of the world until we learn to stop and do what must be done? This ain't no Shangri-La. Do you know Shangri-La?
I like this song. (laughs) 800-313-9443. The callers are staying away in droves today. Why is that? Let me just check the phone to make sure that our... It's hard dialing with your left hand.
Thank you for calling Republic Broadcasting Network.
No, that line's working. Now, let's try the caller line. If I can remember the number. I never dial it. I just say it. Oh, shut up, Mike. Because we are switching over phones.
Thanks for calling Republic Broadcasting Network.
Who's this idiot on the phone?
Probably Bob Tuscan.
Oh, that was bad. Oh, my God. You know, I'll get letters for that now. There's a lot of people that like Tusky. This is a... I really want to play this because this shows you the underhandedness of politics today. And specifically with the Democrat people out there. there was a video that was shot, and it's really noisy because it actually happened at the DNC thing here. And it has to do with Hillary Clinton, her campaign, and wait a minute here. Oh, there's another damn pop-up. Yeah, have you noticed this round you got more pop-ups now that you can't even get rid of the damn things unless you click them on?
No, I haven't. I have a pop-up program or software installed, so it stops all that.
Well,
fine. You must for have you. One of those cheap computers.
Oh. Don't let Thomas hear you say that. He's going to be on the phone to you, man. You know, I'm clicking this on. Okay. It has to do... Okay, here we go. Clinton delegate explains how Democrats will ban all guns. Now, Hillary Clinton has been dancing around this issue. Now, she just wants common sense gun legislation. That's not what she wants. And I'm not doing a political hype here just to scare people to vote for Donald Trump. Just in case you weren't even... You might not even been thinking about voting for Hillary Clinton, but for not casting a vote for Donald Trump, it might put Hillary Clinton in there. That's why you're going to vote. Hey, that's good enough for me. I don't care. I don't care. But we'll get into this, and this is indicative of how these people work. They're not. There's one thing about Donald Trump, and you got to give him this, Michael Moore. That the man believes in what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says, until he's attacked relentlessly and has to backtrack a little bit so he can at least be elected president. Wayne in Texas, let me take your call first because this is a little lengthy. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John. Can you hear me?
Hear you 5x5.
Okay. We have a storm up here in Dallas, so I'm kind of fuzzy on my side. So.
Oh, you mean you're actually getting rain up there after how many weeks? Five?
Yeah, I saw it. I went running out looking like a farmer, man, you know, trying to get my crops watered, so it felt pretty good.
What's on your mind, Wayne?
Hey, had a question for Ron, but I did want to find out if anyone has asked you, John, about this episode Hillary supposedly had during the interview where...
Yes, I saw it. Are you talking about her having a seizure?
Kind of like she started looking like a bobblehead or something. I wasn't quite sure if it was Photoshopped or some sort of thing going on, but...
You know, I've seen that, and just judging by the reaction on that one woman's face as she goes into her fit, I don't think it was Photoshopped.
Yeah, it didn't seem that way, but I was just... I thought I'd throw that out there in case someone wanted to look it up and get some more opinions on it. But,
now, Wayne, the evangelicals come out and said, here, proof positive that she's demon-possessed.
And that spun around.
You know, and it very well may be true, who knows, but there's something going on with Hillary, and I don't know what it is, Wayne. I've seen that video.
Okay.
All right.
Well, the reason I was calling was...
okay, well, hang on 1 second. Now that we got you on the air, our second caller for the whole day, to hell, man.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin. And to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown.
So Wayne, during the break, I watched that video again, and I watched it in real time from two different angles. She was goofing around. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It just looked to me like she was really flopping around a little bit more than she needed to. Plus, she blamed it on the drink, one of those cold drinks.
Yeah, and she was smiling the whole time. And generally, physiological response, if you're having some kind of a meltdown or attack of some sort, you're not going to continue smiling. Her eyes remained focused, and they were scanning and panning as normal. And I think she was just goofing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just wanted to, just real quick note on it. But as for Ron, hi, Ron. I wanted to run a scenario by you to see how you might handle it, or if you've seen something like this in the past where recently I received a love letter from a local third-party debt collector for a notice of tax lien for some business personal property. And I understand that a notice is not the actual lien, that it's more maybe a scare tactic than anything. And I plan on rejecting their offer of contract and will send them a demand for debt validation per Title 15, Section 1692. But I just wanted to run it by you to see if you've come across a scenario like this in your travels, and have you used any particular methods to kind of, stop this thing in its tracks?
Well, actually, the only thing I've done on tax liens was for a very wealthy family in Northern California, where the IRS came in and liened all the properties. But and that had to do with the recorder's office and not complying with procedures on having the lien itself be validated or certified by an endorser from the IRS. They merely put in liens and no endorsement. And the purpose of the endorsement on a tax lien is to – someone has to take liability that the lien is proper right to the penny. If it's off 1 cent, the lien is improper. So that's the thing I've done. But you're saying a third-party collector. What authority does a third-party collector have in going after you?
That's what I'm going to try to attempt to find out, because in this demand for debt validation, you know, you can question, you know, the constitutional authority. You can question the relationship between them and the appraisal district that's, you know, after it. And I know that most law firms don't hold
the original, and that's the point. They're not one that deals in the original two-party agreement, so they don't have an authority to attack it, and that's the point, unless you give them that by acquiescence.
Right. You know, I plan on rejecting their offer of contract by sending back the notice with some, information on it that they'll like to see. But I kind of know what I want to do, but I was kind of curious, along the lines of, does a state property tax code, is that considered a positive law, or is that color of law?
No, that's regulatory law. It's not law. It's regulatory law. Regulatory law comes from a rule that a superior makes a rule that you must follow. And you know that's against our Constitution. What state are you in, Wayne?
Texas.
Oh, Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be the same for Texas, any state, actually. Is that sure. Regulatory law is outside of your constitutional law.
Yeah. Well, if they don't have a verified claim against the actual property where they've gone through the process – and actually, again, all they're doing is more or less a scare tactic?
Yeah, they're just a collection agency. So they have absolutely no footing or standing in court to pursue it. Unless you acquiesce.
Yeah. Well, I don't plan on doing that, that's for sure. But, I just wanted to run a couple things by you and see what your thought of it was. I'm kind of thinking along the same lines and plan on doing my paperwork.
Yeah. Now this is my opinion, so you understand it's an opinion I have.
That's his legal disclaimer, Wayne, if you didn't catch that.
I was going to ask you if that was your opinion or fact, but thank you, sir.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate your call. Tim Brown. That's funny.
And he was the third caller.
Okay. Wow. Burning down a house. I think what's going on here, Ron, is I think people are just enjoying the moment. There is a definite change in the wind, and I think people are just like me. Like last week, I said on the program last Tuesday, I'm feeling something really weird is going on. And as duplicitous as our government is, the news media, there could have been something monumental that happened that nobody knew about. And my spidey sense just picked it up. I don't know, but I've heard a lot of people were feeling the same thing last week, so I don't feel exactly alone. But, you know, am I disappointed that the reason why I was skittish is now I don't know why? No, I'm completely happy just to feel a little bit skittish and not know the reason. And I said last week, generally speaking, I know where most of my anxiety comes from, and that's trying to pay the bills on this network. But I can identify what's bothering me, or I can identify, you know, uneasiness, and, you know, this is what adults learn to do rather than sit and lie to themselves or not be truthful to themselves. They'll sit there and just push things aside until it creeps up on them. And the truth that you're running from, it's a great line from a song. The truth that you're running from may be so small, and you just build it up, and this is what a lot of people do with their thinking. But I believe what's going on with people right now is they're finally getting a breath. They're reassessing. It's been crazy. We've had shootings and blow 'em up stuff and politics and all of this mind-numbing stuff going on, and I think people are just on a break today, and I can accept that. At any rate, over at Freedom Outpost, Tim Brown did this piece on this undercover video, Hillary Clinton delegate explains her deceptive propaganda to ban guns. Now, in a video released by James O'Keefe with Project Veritas, O'Keefe gets an exclusive footage of a Hillary Clinton alternate delegate explaining the propaganda that Clinton will use if elected president to deceive and persuade the public into accepting an all-out unconstitutional gun ban. You say that can't happen? Really? We have national health care. Well, of course, it's fallen on its face. But that still didn't stop people from rising up and going, wait a minute, that ain't right. They're going, wait a minute, this is going to cut $1,500, $2,000 to my health insurance premiums? I heard Obama say it, didn't you? Obama said it. But of course it wasn't true. But the satellite is down, Mikey? The satellite is down? Really? So quit talking to whoever's on and talk to me.
What? Just got a couple reports the satellite's out for about a minute or two. So
it's back up?
No, I told them to keep an ear out, and then if it's not up in 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to call up there and see what's going on.
Well, we paid the bill. Call them up right now. Don't wait 2 minutes.
Well, I was just wondering if it's just maybe a local thing. I don't know, but I'll call them.
Good.
So what's that mean, John?
What's what mean, Ron?
The satellite's out.
I don't know what that means. That's why that, yeah, well, no, it's not that we can't broadcast. It's what we feed through that satellite. There's a lot of people out there with the home units.
Yeah.
That listen by satellite. There's those low-power FM guys. Shh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Rodney in Illinois. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, John. Yeah, I'm one of the ones that just called in. Your previous caller was, talking about a notice of federal tax lien, and then all of a sudden the satellite feed just dropped.
Well, and now I know my friends over there in Pennsylvania don't play dead man switch with the satellite, so it had to be a feed cut going over to them, which means we were okay here sending the signal over to them to put up on the bird. So somewhere between here in Pennsylvania, somebody got in there and hacked it.
Apparently so. Well, anyhow, I got you live via a landline telephone.
Good.
Ron.
Yes.
I've got an issue. It's minor, but City of Sparta, a municipal corporation plaintiff versus me. I know I've heard you speak in the past about fleshing out such things as this. Can you give me a couple of clues as to where I can discover who the City of Sparta is, a self-described municipal corporation, and why and how and actually do they have jurisdiction?
Satellite went back up?
Came back.
That's what I heard in the background?
Yeah.
Very good. Go ahead, Rodney.
Yeah. Well, Ron, a municipal corporation.
Yeah.
And the officer that issued me a couple of tickets actually volunteered that. Says, this is, a violation of a municipal code.
Okay, what was the content? What's the subject matter?
Yeah, Rodney, we missed the question here.
Well, the subject matter is minor traffic. No valid driver's license, expired.
Okay, I did a case. I did a case exactly like that, and it was on a a young man who was on federal, what do you call that? Let's see here.
Give me a clue. I'll help you.
Federal probation.
Okay. He's on
for
5
years. He'd already served 2 years if he
he's on
that.
Parole. Okay.
Yeah, parole.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. He couldn't have an infraction whatsoever. He'd be tossed right into the federal pen. And he was caught driving without a license and without registration on his vehicle. Mm. And the point is I proved that the notice to appear, that little ticket that they give you, was a unilateral contract under the law of contract that could not exist, and won the case on that issue.
Okay. You want to fill in a few more blanks about this one, Ron?
Oh, yeah. Well, all law boils down to contract. It's rights and duties, vice versa.
Right.
And even in a court, when an officer gives you a ticket on the highway, it has to be a contract. Now, the officer itself is a fictional character and cannot presume to be a witness in the case. He only reports the crime. So the ticket itself, the notice to appear into court, becomes the contract, and there has to be another party pursuing that. And usually in every state, it has to be the district attorney. Now, the district attorney, in order to pursue a case, has to be an eyewitness to it. He can't just go on hearsay evidence. So in this case,
it's the city attorney the prosecutor.
The city attorney. Well, same thing. Some call him city attorney, some district attorney, some whatever. But the point is that if you research contract law and you come across what a contract has to have involved in it, you'll see that the notice to appear does not conform to contract law. Therefore, one is only bound to go into the courtroom under a valid contract. The notice to appear is not a valid contract. The elements aren't there. There has to be a consideration. Where's the consideration in it?
So there's no time element, 3 days, 10 days?
No, but you have to, you have to go into court to prove it. You have to bring your paperwork in to prove it. But use all the elements of a contract, hold it up against the notice to appear, see if it conforms to a contract. If it doesn't conform to a contract, then the case has to be thrown out. It dismissed because it violates contract law.
All right, Rodney, are you getting this? It doesn't sound like...
Well, yes, I get it, and I appreciate Ron's synthesis of his answer to my question.
Okay.
Quite frankly, I think he answered it 100%.
All right. Rodney, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You decided not to renew your license, correct?
Yeah, the officer says, well, this has been expired since 2010. I says, yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm just looking at my Texas driver's license here. Mine expired in 6/29/07. I got you beat.
Well, good for you.
Okay. One other thing, Rodney. I would go back to your statutes at large of the state of Texas and go when they first passed the motor vehicle code and look around that time for another code that was in to explain further the code. And you'll find that it did not apply to people who were on the highways for their own personal use, carrying their own personal goods or their own personal people. The code was passed only for those people who are on the highway for hiring compensation.
And that's commercial.
That's commercial.
If you're a taxi driver, if you're a truck driver, if you're a UPS driver, postal worker, whatever, you're out there engaging in commerce, then that vehicle has to be licensed and you got to have a driver's license to drive the vehicle around because you're involved in commerce. The rest of the people out there, there was a case that was up in Michigan, and I'll have to dig this one out, Ron, but the Secretary of State up there, and that's what they call the head of the Driver's License Bureau, the Secretary of State was faced with a decision on which way she was going to jump because it was pointed out to her that people just using their automobile on said public highways were not required to have a driver license. What they were looking at was massive reimbursements. And if this happened in Michigan, and they had to start reimbursing all this traffic fine stuff that they handed out because they were demanding that people had these driver licenses. That would have spread to the other 49 states, and holy mackerel, what a bill this would have been left for the respective states. So they kind of quashed the thing and then pushed to the side. But what Ron just said is absolutely correct. This was supposed to be for insurance reasons, protection of the public, and all this blah, blah, blather, that there's a reason why people have to have driver's license. But it was only for people engaged in commerce, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the state taxes the people to build the highways and commercial people use that highway, shouldn't they be charged for the, taking care of the highways for their use of it?
Well, yeah, they are charged. They pay federal and state gasoline, diesel, the fuel that they put in their car. They already pay taxes on that. You know, there's an interesting – Rodney, thank you for your call.
You bet.
All right, sir. There's an interesting thing going on here down in Texas – with these wonderful toll roads that they just put up. Now, just to drive around Austin, okay, they call it I-30. You jump off at 35, get on this I-30. I'm sorry? 130. Okay, I-30, 130, whatever. How the hell these people know? They're not from Texas. The only person going to complain to me is you and somebody else from Texas. Okay, so I misspoke. 130. But what's the designation, smart guy, in front of the 130? State highway. But it's not really a state highway. It's owned by a private corporation. I was just reading this today in our local propaganda monthly circular that these drivers, just for skipping a few exits to jump on I-30, they were paying $24 at these toll booths for just a few miles of this privately owned road. And I'm looking at this, and lo and behold, it was some Democrat out of Austin that, well, they wanted to get in there and kind of reduce the fares to induce drivers, truck drivers, and other people not to use IH-35. IH-35. I think it's still IH-130, but anyway, we'll argue about that after the show. But at any rate, they were trying to do it to alleviate traffic on 35, which in the last 5 years, our traffic jam at 5 p.m. goes all the way from Austin, Texas, and south all the way north to Round Rock, Texas, which is about 15 miles. So you got bumper to bumper. Oh, yeah, but we didn't suffer like Dallas and Houston and where you're at, Mr. and Mrs. America. We didn't have these tie-ups. So they decided to charge the truckers the rate of 3 axles, which is like $8. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, yeah, for people involved in commercial stuff, they have to pay their fines and or their fees and all that other stuff. But what about the independent? Could you imagine driving around paying toll after toll after toll if you're an independent owner operator? It would kill you. Now, are they paying taxes to the Fed, which is supposed to be redistributed back into the state to take care of the federal government's highways within your state? And that's really what they are. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, boy, this is rather fascinating. Comes up over an issue of backlog of traffic. But I'm learning that this private corporation that is overlooked by the state and then could pass stuff regulating a private corporation on the fares that they collect. And I'm going to have to weed through this one because this is the strangest thing, one of the strangest things I've ever seen. All right, tell you what, let me go to Paul in Massachusetts. What? Oh, he dropped. Okay, good. Because I want to play this. Clinton delegate explains how Democrats will ban guns. Now, let me give you a little bit more background on this. Of course, much of what is said is no mystery. It's been common phraseology to say that one is for common sense gun legislation. The reality is that kind of talk is actually a communist gun legislation. And Hillary Clinton wants to ban guns, period. You know, we got our national health care. Now we're not allowed to own guns, so criminals like her can take over and we can't resist too much.
Saying you want to ban guns altogether, that's going to piss everybody off. A Clinton alternate delegate, Mary Beyer, told the Undercover Project Veritas reporter. And Mary Beyer is not going to be very happy about this because this has gone viral throughout the globe. So she reveals openly that this type of ultimate goal, not some common sense legislation. She realizes it's not going to only upset people, but it is unlawful, and this is one reason they try to deceive the people. Now, you have to take that sort of moderate, we just want to have common sense legislation so our children are safe, Bear added. You say, and she said this, you say capital S hit like that, and then people will not buy into it. Now, part of Mrs. Bear's problem is that her husband fails to lead her properly, as she unflinchingly says he wants to see the guns banned as well. Now, Beyer also admits that getting Democrats in office is the only way to see such a ban on guns, and that Hillary would support the ban for sure. Here is the clip. Listen closely.
We can't say we want to ban guns. So they're not going to, you got to like hide that.
No, right. You got to say you got to have common sense gun legislation.
And then they'd switch them and ban them all. But Hillary would support banning guns.
Yeah, I think, well, she doesn't take any positions that are too terribly extreme, and I think
in
that...
Publicly.
Right, I think that's the moderate, like, well, we just want to have common sense legislation so that our children are safe.
Yeah.
You say shit like that, and then people will buy into
it. All right.
So, they'll just buy into it. So, in other words, lie, deceive, cheat, do whatever you can. And that's okay. Here's Eric Sperling. He's the legislative assistant for Congressman John Conyers Jr. And this is against Citizens Against Senseless Violence that put this out. Should have queued this up a little better. Where are you here?
For Citizens Against Senseless Gun Violence. I'm so proud of Democrats in Congress for standing up for the safety of others by courageously sitting down.
Rise up, Democrats. Rise up, Americans.
This was a sit-in on the House floor.
This cannot stand.
Help us win this battle, America. Call your representative up. Call these Republicans up on the phone.
No bill. No bill.
Take violent guns and violent people off the streets of this nation.
Sheila Jackson Lee. Violent guns and violent people.
We need to have, of course, our gun safety measures should be passed.
We need to reinstate a ban on the sale of military-style
This is John Conyers.
But it's time for us to go further than sitting down. That's why Citizens Against Senseless Gun Violence wants Democrats and their staffers to show the world that they're gun-free.
We're out of time, unfortunately. Is this posted now on our website? It will be here in just a second. All right, Ron McDonald, thank you so much. And I'll tell you what, next time around, I think we're going to have to bring up Ralph Winterode.
That'd be great.
All right. I thank you, sir. Ron?
You're welcome. You're quite welcome.
Do you have your granddaughter sitting on your lap or something?
No, but I'm expecting them over, so.
Okay. That anticipation that turns your brain off, and I'm saying goodbye to you.
Hey, always a pleasure, John. Always.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ron. I appreciate it very much, sir.
All right.
All righty. And thank you all for being here today. And for some reason, they didn't want to interrupt us with chatter and phone calls. Okay. We'll be here tomorrow.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.